Welcome to the How Did We Get Here podcast. It's your boy Marwayne.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Gabe.
The How Did We Get Here podcast, where your thought gets caught.
Period. Now, period. Where your thoughts get motherfucking caught, buddy, okay?
What are we talking about?
Okay, so let's get to this. Jamar, how was your week, friend? What happened? How was your week? What'd you do? What'd you get into?
My week was interesting. But nonetheless,
you don't want to dive into the interesting? We should play the...
No, I'm gonna dive into the interesting. I'm trying to let you know I still thrive. We're going to
play the Moesha song in the background. You remember Moesha when she was writing her diary? Doom! So go ahead and talk about your interesting moment.
So I had somebody try me.
Did I try you?
I did. I did have somebody try me, but the good Lord prevailed. And it's funny because I'm sitting here talking like this. I'm about to give this speech. If you a sports fan, my team lost. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You know that. My team lost. We lost to the Cleveland Browns on Thursday. And the quarterback is Jameis Winston. He gives these speeches, and he just literally says the most random things.
Oh, Lord. So I guess this
But he does quote. He does quote Bible verses in the random things that he says.
So and what's this random thing that you about to say?
Well, he says something like... The horse is prepared for victory or the horse is prepared for battle and the Lord will prevail in victory. He misquoted the verse. I forget which verse it was, but nonetheless, that's how I'm feeling. So you know what? I'm good.
So that's the feeling that you feel with your interest in wheat, because the horse will prevail in the battle.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, listen, Seabiscuit, go ahead and motherfucking prevail then. I love to hear it, okay? Okay. You better run on, honey, okay? Well, as for me.
Yeah, how was your week?
Yeah, my week was good. I had work at the end of the week. Honestly, the end of the week was fun. I had a Friendsgiving. So, you know, I had a Friendsgiving. One of my good friends hosted a really nice little gathering with all of us. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, actually, shout out to your wifey.
I was about to say that Friendsgiving features some fried chicken and empanada.
Listen.
How was that? Because let me let you know something.
One thing about...
Shout out Sol Lynn. Shout out
to Sol Lynn. Okay, real quick. We gonna talk about the... right. I'm not going to say their last names, but that's going to say
the Lynn Boricua. And the Lynn. Boricua and the soul get it to go. Okay.
But she be doing hibachi and stuff too. So
yeah, she does all kinds of stuff. But no, but that's the.
Is that like the premises of it? Because she's a Boricua?
Lynn, yeah, and the Boricua. Soul? Yeah, like the Spanish the influence Lynn. With the Southern influence. You put that together and you got soul.
I just
Lynn.
Thought because she makes soul food and her name is Lynn. Oh, Lynn.
I mean, it could be that too, Gabe.
Anyway, friend, listen, she made some good food, and I just want to shout her the fuck out. Well, because she done came through and made these mini empanadas, and it was some mini empanadas, both chicken and beef.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, can I tell the motherfucking story? I was in the motherfucking kitchen.
You did. I wanted to shout
you
that
so
out,
happy.
Too. I was in the kitchen. These hands.
All right, sous chef. Shit. You got your portion.
We make it happen.
Anyway,
I'm just letting you know.
It was good at the end of the day. Yes, and if you guys are ever in the Jersey Shore area or in New Jersey or, you know, I don't know. Does she travel?
Well, we do.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. If you travel, we going to put it in the description. We're going to put my friend's business in the description. Sol Lynn. It's at Sol Lynn on Instagram.
You catch it wherever
and,
you be.
Y'all, you know what I'm saying? They know how to make some good-ass mac and cheese. One thing I'm going to tell you about Lynn and her brother Rob, they can make some good-ass mac and cheese, okay? I ain't never had...
That's the Mac Attack.
I mean, yeah, they are the best people that I've had mac and cheese. Like nobody. I've had nobody's best mac and cheese. But anyway,
she's a connoisseur at mac and cheese.
What does she do?
She's a connoisseur at mac and cheese. She's gotten that from several different
generations
places.
On generations.
Generations
yes,
on generations.
We love
several
it.
Different places. I think
Praise
she got it
Lord.
From her family and her other family.
Her
like
other
her,
side,
her mom, her dad.
And the daddy.
And then,
and
I, think
then
she, I think she might have got it from a couple spots on my side of the family,
maybe.
Too, to make her own thing.
Make her own little zhuzhu zhaja.
Mac attack.
Mac attack. That's what it's called. The Mac attack.
That's all we're going to say.
I call it mac and cheese. That's all
I'm going to say. But I am the sous chef, so I be in there holding it down.
He wants that to be known.
I don't need it to be known. I just, you know, it's known.
All right.
I'm a sous chef.
Okay, so we're going to get into the next segment, which is the How Did It Started segment. So every time we talk in the How It Started segment, I was about to take a little sip of water, but now we're going, I'm talking. But basically the How It Started segment is Mar and I are going to bring up old memories and things that, you know, that resonate with us both in our 30s and in our younger years. So today we're going to talk about you know, movies and throwback movies like Disney movies and all that. That's what you was. That's what you had.
We was talking about that the other day.
We were.
I tell you, I caught
what
myself.
What made you think about that though? That's kind of what
I caught myself being. I don't know why. I was at work, and when I got off of work, I just felt so nostalgic, and I went home, and I watched the movie, the first one I texted you, Double Teamed, with the
That was that sports movie
with the twin white girl. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Sports, yes. Mm-hmm. I grew up in sports. My mom was my t-ball coach.
You see? Okay? Yep.
My mom was my t-ball coach. I grew up in sports. That's just what it is. So the sports movies resonate with me. Yes,
I understand.
Double Team. It was. And then it was two twin blonde white girls. I'm sorry. Like,
what were they doing?
Playing basketball and volleyball. And I don't know. I mean, but
so what was so nostalgic about it? Was it just because they were playing sports and they were?
I think
playing?
It came out. When did it come out? Like the 2000s, like 2000 between 2000 and 2004, something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, around that time, Gabe, like, what else was? Shit, what else was you doing? You were stuck in the house. So you was watching movies.
Back in that time, okay, while you were watching Double Team, okay, I was watching the Cheetah Girls.
Okay.
I was watching the Cheetah Girls. I was watching
Halloween Town.
Yeah. You have a Halloween Town? Now listen.
I was trying to put Leilani on Halloween Town the couple
she
weeks
ain't
ago.
With it?
She's 9. I mean, attention is.
Oh yeah. Halloween Town. I was still fucking with Halloween. I was fucking with Halloween Town till I was like in my teens. No shame.
Well, I mean,
I was like, I had a childish.
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, kids, these new age
kids nowadays, like, yeah, I'm telling you, if it doesn't have fireworks,
my niece,
and all the
friend,
forget
literally
about it.
My nieces for the holidays, my niece is asking me for a $600 iPhone. I said, little girl, I don't even have the newest fucking iPhone.
Well, your parents.
Thank you.
Well, your parents. That's not my job.
Hello.
That'll never be my job.
It would never be my job.
I'm uncle.
Thank you. It's my crazy. Phone. You know what it is, though? I spoil my nieces
a lot. I wish I
would have
asked Aunt Shani for an iPhone.
Hello?
Aunt Kathy, hey, can I get an iPhone?
My the oldest one has been so persistent. She literally has been sending me links.
That sound like
she has been sending me the links.
I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna tell you.
And then my other niece, because of that fact, my other niece is now asking me for an Apple Watch. I literally just got my niece a smartwatch.
That sounds like somebody putting the battery in her back. Somebody is influencing that.
You think my brother's out there?
You might want to check with Guy.
I mean, I could, because he probably...
Guy, I'm not buying your daughter an iPhone.
Listen, go ahead now.
Let me
read you what I just texted their asses, because they tried to double team my ass last night and saying, Uncle, can I get an Apple Watch? Can I get a... I sent them both a message in the group text.
And that's
I said,
crazy.
Hello, ladies. I said, I see that the both of you are asking for very expensive gifts for Christmas. Please remember that Uncle is not rich, and I do not have a lot of money.
Well,
the budget for each of you for Christmas is $100 each. Woo. And that's even a drag.
Wow.
And that's even a drag, that $100 each.
You're generous.
Hello? Anyway, do what you may with that and send me what you would like.
Talk to Auntie Ash.
Okay.
Girl, let me say, no, Auntie Ash is doing a lot. Shout out to my sister because, you know, we usually do Christmas, you know, at my house. Like, that's what we've been doing, like, for the last, you know, few years or so. But we're actually going to the Poconos this year.
Nice. Christmas.
That's fun. Switch it up, add more family members, you know what I mean? Like, and we want to try to just, you know, create happy memories.
Right.
And in different environments, doing different things, you know? Mm-hmm. So Auntie Ash is the
listen. Beauty is heading amazing. It up.
She's the best.
She really is. I love that's my friend. That's my
she really is. Like you know, when we were younger, let me tell you something. When we were younger, I used to ask her how to behave. That's my younger sister.
I mean, she's a Capricorn.
She's so younger than me by 2 years. I used to, as the older brother, I used to ask my younger sister, "How do you behave?" Because I used to get my ass whooped on a regular basis.
Bad as hell.
Talking about parents just don't understand. I mean, I don't think it was a matter of not understanding. I think it was just...
You were just bad as hell. I got to feel like I played a factor.
Well, let me tell you something. They said there's no such thing as bad kids, as bad parents. My parents were amazing. Do not misquote me. Yes. However, yes, I was a badass kid. It is what it is. I was a badass kid. I used to throw pencils in the ceiling. I used to... go places I wasn't supposed to go. I used to lie, do all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you name it, I probably did it.
Well, let's get into the episode then, since you're talking about it. So the episode, the How Did We Get Here segment is, today we're going to talk about parenthood. And basically, obviously, I'm not a parent, y'all. You know, I ain't got no kids, okay? I'm a baby mama with no kids, okay? If you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, so... Yeah, so the How Did We Get Here segment is basically we're going to be discussing.
Baby mama is crazy.
I'm a baby mama and a baby dad with no kids. Okay, I could be everything. I am. What's the word? Multifaceted.
You are smart.
I am them.
You are kind.
Okay. Everything. I am every man and woman. Okay, but anyway, so in the How Did We Get Here episode, and in this segment, we're going to talk about parenthood, and basically, specifically, parenthood in the Black community. Me being a Haitian man, Haitian Black gay man, as you guys can obviously tell, but it was a lot of trauma and a lot of stuff that I've been through, and you know, I feel like that this is a conversation that we need to have as Black men, as people that you are a father now. So, you know, I want to definitely discuss and dive into, you know, the things that you've learned, the things that you have struggled with as a child or, you know, in your younger years and, you know, how it's formed you to be the amazing dad that you are now. Because from what I see, you're doing pretty good, friend. But yeah, I kind of want to dive into that. So first things first, I want to bring up some statistics. So 37% of Black children live with their biological parents, both male and women. They mom and dad. And 50% are just living with a single parent. Now, I know for us, you and I, both of our parents were in our lives, majority of our lives. And I think that definitely played a difference in how we grew up. Because we also had friends that had both of their parents in their lives, but we also had friends that didn't. We had friends like we mentioned. We talked about Kurt. We have him that you know he had didn't necessarily from what I you know he had his mom in his life, and we had other people that we had. So
he had his dad in his life too. He just you know, for whatever the circumstance, did not have his father living with him, but he pretty much had his dad present in his life. Because there were times when, you know, take trips with his dad or be with his dad.
Right, now he's in Florida
So I witnessed that when we were growing up. But I'm curious, you said 37 and 50. What's the other 13?
Maybe that 13 is living. Children? Maybe they living with like their aunt, maybe their uncle, maybe someone like a so godparent.
So like,
yeah, maybe they're parentless.
In the they system. Have,
in the system, whatever. Homeless. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Which is crazy. But
and you said 50%
is single. They live in a single parent house.
Is it a single mom or is it a single dad?
It did not specify, just said a single parent.
That's a really, really big,
you know, sure. That's a big percentage.
But in that 50%, and that just goes to what we were just saying about, you know, one of my good friends, the other parent is still probably involved.
Absolutely.
They're just living with one parent.
Right. You know? But we also have people that the other parent wasn't involved.
Yeah. I tell you, you know,
How was your living with your with both of the parents in your life? And
me growing up with both parents, I think definitely was a huge part of who I am today. I don't think I would have made it as far as I made it. Honestly, I would either be dead or in jail if I did not have both of my parents in the house. I'm more than certain.
Yeah,
you know, because both of my parents, and like, and you know me personally,
yeah,
you know the things that I've been through, and people who don't know me be like, oh, Jamar's a wild boy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, Mark, that's a wild boy. But if I did not have both of my parents in there, I'm telling you, it would be much more wilder. Right? if that's a, if I know worser is not a word, but wilder, yes, it would be much more wilder. It would be a little bit.
It'll be a crazy time.
So I definitely benefited from having both my parents around growing up. There was times I grew up where I didn't want both my parents. There was times I didn't want my dad around me.
Mm.
Not as much for my mom.
Yeah.
But there was times where, I wanted to be raised, you know, and being around people that were raised in a single parent household, I had thoughts cross my mind like, damn, I want to be raised in a single parent household too.
Is it because of the fact that you saw the good things that was being shown in those single parent households?
No. Or is it just because I think it was more so the things that I was shown in my two parent household. It didn't matter about the single parent household. Like, I mean, that didn't even mean squat.
Right.
It was the things I was trying to escape from my two parent household. And
the traumas that you were dealing
as with. As an adult now, bro, I go back there in a heartbeat.
To your two parent.
To my trauma.
To your trauma.
In a heartbeat. Mm. Because at the end of the day, I could have been so much worse off. And I mean that when I say that. People who really don't know me don't understand, like, I could really be so much worse off.
Yeah.
I really could.
So you were saying that if you could go back, you would. So basically what I'm hearing is if you could go back, you would do things different as far as where your trauma was and what you would, the feelings that you had at that moment, it would probably be a different feeling.
We never know.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, honestly, this comes back to another statistic that I saw. So black men specifically are at a high for trauma exposure, with 62% of us having a traumatic event happening to us in our lives, which is the reason why some of, you know, black fathers raise the way that they raise their children now. that comes into a point of kind of what you said, because you're saying that you wish that, you know, the things that you have did in that moment, even though those were traumatic moments, you want to go back to those traumatic moments to do something different. For me, I would definitely agree with the whole thing of the aspect of having two parents in my household. It was very, very appreciated. My parents did everything that they could. You know what I'm saying? And especially on top of the fact that I grew up in a two-parent household and both of my parents were Christian. So not only that, but the religion base in that as well of having faith in something and faith in God was also something that was substantial for me. So that is something that I definitely appreciated, but also it came to a lot of trauma with it because of the fact that while I had both of my parents, I got great insight, great advice. There was a lot of things because of
internal shit.
A lot of internal stuff that they went through, but also
you.
Yeah, with me. But I also feel like that there were times that my parents chose religion rather than choosing their kid. And their kids' opinions and what they, you know, what their kid is going through and all of that. Because there were moments in my life and moments and times that things that I was going through. I would say the number one thing that pops off in my head is my sexuality. Mm-hmm. When you would want your parent to be, you know, supportive.
True.
Because of the fact that both of my parents are pastors and their religion, they chose what they think the Bible says, because we can get into it. But what they believe that the Bible says is that, you know, gay isn't right, you know, this and that, the third. So they literally, since I was a kid, you know, because of how I acted, you know what I'm saying? My mom used to, I remember times, like, my mom used to tell me, like, stop talking like a girl. Like, you know, stop talking like a girl, stop acting like this, this and that, the third. So, like, all of that really, like, it formed me to be the person that I am today. Thank God for therapy. But I definitely feel like that a lot of trauma, as me being a Black man, I feel like that wasn't the best. And if I could go back into time, I don't feel like that I would necessarily change much. As far as the way that I acted, maybe with me lashing out, maybe yes, but the things that I've told my parents as far as how I felt, not really, because I kind of still have those feelings. The way that I acted out and I did the most and I gave them hell, okay? You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, if I didn't have both of my parents, I probably would have been dead and in jail as well. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was a lot for me. So that's something that I definitely, you know, wanted to just kind of talk about a little bit. Like, what are the specific, do you have any, like, specific moments or times that kind of gave in your mind that was like, okay, this is something that I'm not, because now, like, you're a parent now, you know what I'm saying? Your daughter now is 9. So it's going to be close to 10 years. So as being a father, what were specific moments and times that you had maybe a flashback into a traumatic moment of saying, this is what I'm not going to do, you know, moving forward? I can say even for myself, not even having kids, but as a moment, something for me, I would say for me is whoopings, because my parents, okay, he beat my ass, okay? But also, we also got to keep in mind of that too, because I want to say, I want to mention, one of the things that I always remember when I always used to get whoopings is this is something that I would never do to my kids, because I used to get whoopings for anything, you know what I'm saying? And in hindsight, because I'm going to definitely say this, as I got older, my mom actually apologized to me and my brother one time during dinner. My mom, we were talking about, like, our childhood and all of that, and my mom ended up apologizing. She said, I really want to apologize to y'all for beating y'all and being so aggressive growing up, because it was an anger in me that I had internally. Personally, I already knew that. Because, bitch, you ain't motherfucking beating my ass because I ain't motherfucking.
You ain't telling me nothing new.
Yeah, sure. Like, you know, I used to do the smallest shit, bro.
I knew your ass was angry.
But, like,
clearly,
God,
you was angry.
Damn.
Where you was striking that boat down, hell, I knew your ass was angry.
No, friend. It was my mom's weapon of choice was a
extension cord?
Yes. Yo, it was a telephone cord, honey. Yeah.
That's how you know you mean business.
Okay.
An extension cord? So
it was the telephone
a belt is one
cord.
Thing. Like, you know what I mean? Because you just whip that off your waist real quick. You know what I mean? Cha-cha-cha.
Nah.
An extension cord means intention.
She
purpose.
Had the, So
I want you to feel this.
She ended up apologizing, and it was really, for me, that was a great moment. Because, you know, I was like, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Because that was something that was crazy for me for pretty much my whole life. And it pretty much kind of molded as far as her and I's relationship and why my mom and I are, I love my mom to death. Even I was just taking care of her yesterday because she has a bad shoulder. She thinks she's fucking Superwoman, which she is, but she's in her 60s. So, she's in her 60s Superwoman.
So my parents, and honestly, I wouldn't expect them to have never apologized for whipping my ass when I was younger. And I don't expect them to, because I very much deserved most of the ass whippings I got when I was younger. There's an exception of a few, but that's probably no more than I can count on one hand. One of which which I will go to 80, 90 years old. I did not fucking lock that goddamn dog. I don't even remember the name of the goddamn dog, but I did not lock his ass up in that unfixed spot in my uncle and aunt's house in South Carolina. The fuck? Wait, what? Stupid ass dog probably locked himself in there, vacuum effect. I don't fucking know.
Dog,
but I did not have anything to do with that, and I got blamed and my ass whooped
by my uncle. How can a dog lock themselves in?
Vacuum effect. You never fucking heard of it? Doors close and shut by themselves sometimes when wind and all that pressure and shit, whatever. I'm not a scientist. I didn't go to school for that shit. But nonetheless, that's on the top of my list. I got my ass whooped for that shit. I didn't do a damn thing. Ashley didn't do anything either. I'll stand by her side on that too. Unless eventually one day she comes out and says, I actually did do it. But I believe her because I know I didn't do anything and they said I did it. She didn't get the blame. They said I did it. And I know she said she didn't do anything and they believed her. But nobody believed me. They said, no, you did it. So anyway, we're getting
okay,
off the subject. But what I'm trying to say is, right. Yeah, I don't expect my parents to ever apologize for whipping my ass because I definitely deserved it most of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to whip my kids' ass. That's not the plan.
Right.
Obviously, you can't do that shit in 2024, 2025 because it's
gentle
against
parenting.
The law, right?
It's against the law to fucking beat your kids.
You are not supposed to put your hands on anybody. Your kids or anybody. You keep your hands to yourself.
Well, that was always the rule. That's why they call diapers.
Was it the rule when you was getting your ass whooped? Apparently not.
But
so
the
anyway,
thing is, back in the day, though,
anyway,
our parents,
anyway,
hold on. No,
what I'm trying to say
on.
Is, what I'm trying to say is,
no.
Gabe, I got my ass whooped probably more than you ever did. So
but they probably, but our parents
we
gave
already
us the spirit of discernment for us not to snitch.
Well, somebody done broke that fucking discernment.
Yeah, like, you
and
know,
and somebody
they
done
gave
broke
us
them
that
rules
spirit.
Because we're here now.
Like, you know,
we're here
if
now.
You say
you're not allowed
to these motherfuckers.
Yeah, we're here now. We're here now.
So they don't do that no more.
You know, there was a story that a lady put her hands on her kid or whatever, and they brought it to court, and the judge, I don't know if the exact amount, but let's say the judge said, you know, you're going to pay $100 fine for blah, 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 blah. The lady said to the judge, all right, I'm going to give you your $100 fine, but take this extra $100 because when we get home, I'm going to
beat his
ass
again.
Yeah, for bringing me here. So, you know what I mean?
That's low-key what my mama was
saying.
That's
not
going to
fly in 2025, obviously.
That's what Nico was saying.
So, what I'm trying to say is I don't want to be in that position to have to ever put my hands on my kids,
right.
Ever.
Right.
However, I do believe spare the rod, spoil the child, right? We don't know all Bible verses, but we know that one.
Mm-hmm,
spread a rod, spoil the child. Mm-hmm. But even so, like, there's even times where, like, Layden, like, he is a mischief. Like, he can't help himself. He's
that's
just
because
always,
that's your son.
He's
that's,
always he's in something. And when I walk up on him when he's doing something he knows he's
out.
Not supposed to do it.
He out.
He's no, if he doesn't, if he's not out, if he's, like, in a corner, if he's in a position where he can't be out, guess what he does? And it's like, bro, I'm not even about to put hands
but
on. Just
that's
relax.
Literally your twin, though.
Just relax and stop doing what you're doing.
Y'all have the same birthday. That's
so, you know what I mean? Like, you don't ever want to, you know,
God
put your hands
on
your
purpose.
Kids, you know, because I used to get told when I was getting my ass whooped, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you got to be fucking kidding me. It can't be no way, because this hurts.
Ain't no way.
This hurts. So go ahead with that bullshit. Just telling that lie. Listen. But anyway, you know, as a parent, you asked a question like, what is the thing that you don't want to see yourself do that your parents did?
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to focus so much on what I don't want to do or what they did that I didn't like. But I really try to focus on, exactly. I try to focus on what they did that made me feel loved and felt at home and cared for. And I watched a video not too long ago. This guy was talking about he accidentally kissed his son on the lips. I kissed my son and my daughter on the lips.
I used to kiss my dad on the lips too.
All the time. My daughter's 9. My son will be 3. We have the same birthday. I kiss my kids on the lips all the time. I know at one point in
it
time.
It has to stop, yeah.
They're not going to want to.
Exactly.
Just like how I didn't want to kiss my dad on the fucking lips anymore. Exactly. I didn't want to kiss my mom on the lips anymore.
Exactly.
I see my mom twice, three times a week. I see my grandma maybe same amount of times. Every time I see my grandma, she gets a kiss from me on the cheek.
Yeah.
Do I kiss my mom on the cheek every single time I see her? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's no, different, and yeah. That's just what it is. That's that like
the dynamic change.
I don't know. I don't understand the psychology behind it because I didn't go. I didn't take psych classes. I had an unfortunate route, and we'll eventually get to that.
Well, but that's just how. That's how. That's just
yeah.
Growing up is. You right. know what I'm saying? So, we like were I little said, kids, so of course we're going to. The affection of us as children
right.
is completely different than the right. affection that we have as you know as adults.
Right. It's not an accident when I kiss my kids on the lips.
Absolutely.
Right now. But I know at some point, I'm going to enjoy it while I have it, because those are my kids.
That's your baby.
I love my kids. Yeah. I love my kids.
That's who you created.
And there's nothing crazy about it. I love my kids to the extent of I want them to understand that I'm always going to be there for them and they're my entire world.
Yeah.
Because at some point, they're not going to want nothing to do with me. And I know that.
It's not because they're not going to want nothing to do with you, no, friend.
Gabe, just cut it out.
They just going to step
there.
A back.
We've been there. And then they're not going to want nothing to do with you until it's too late. Because we've been there.
Yeah.
So
I could agree.
So I say this for any person that's just giving a chance to listen. Take advantage of your loved ones being around right now, because at some point they won't be.
Yeah.
And when they're not, you're going to wish that you had that one more time
that
kiss them on the lips.
Yeah, yeah. So, what positive moments do you remember that you how you were raised that you bring over to how you parent? What are some great things that you were raised with that you actually bring into? Or even as you as a man yourself, beyond being a parent, like
just
you know,
encouragement, just constantly. You always want to encourage your kids. I remember we used to live right behind the pool in Ocean Town in Turnbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Turnbrook used to have a pool before they ran that goddamn complex down. And the ship was shut down for years.
Yeah.
We used to live right by that pool. And that was a great time. That was a great time. My dad taught me and my sister how to swim. You know, that's real when they say a lot of niggas don't know how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I don't know how to swim.
My dad taught me and my sister how to swim.
I had a whole pool in my backyard. I don't even know how to swim.
We used to do laps. Used to do laps in that pool. And my dad would be so proud. We'd be swimming back and forth underwater and shit. Like, it was just a proud moment. And, you know, when I played ball, you know, baseball, like I said, like, my parents kind of made me play that shit. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. But When I wanted to play football, like when I was into that shit, and you know, I have this DVD at my house, you know, that has my dad's voice in the background saying, go Jamar, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. and shit like that, you know, those are good memories. Holidays kind of fucked me up.
Yeah.
Be quite honest, because my dad was so big on holidays.
He was, yeah. He always had that Christmas tree.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, like yeah. The whole month of December. This motherfucker's playing the Temptations, Give Love at Christmas. You know, he was December 1st, mm-hmm. Sagittarius, you know. So holidays were huge for him. So holidays kind of fucked me up a little bit, you know. And it fucks up my family because I don't want to celebrate holidays like that because... you know, it brings me there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And,
oh, it's all right, Fran. I mean, but you're making...
That's just life, but, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is the moment... I mean, but you said, just like what you said in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? What you guys are doing now is, you know, making memories with your family. Like you said, you're going to the Poconos and... Like we said in the first episode, and like I always say to you, he's always around. And while I understand, you know, that it is hard, I personally, you know, I can't be in your shoes. But what I do know is that I see you and you're doing amazing. And your family is always around, and they're always going to, all you're doing is continuing to make memories. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I love the fact that that's something that you really continue to do as far as you being a father, as being encouraging. That's something I would say for me, as far as my parents, that's, they encourage me as well. Music, entertainment, anything of that stuff, they encourage me to an extent, because I will say that my mom and dad, they always wanted me to sing, because since I was a kid, I was always singing. Yeah. When
you always had the ability to.
Yeah. No, and you can
sing. I mean, we knew that. So. Yeah, we knew that.
You know.
But, that's what, no Diddy. Diddy.
But how he get in this?
Because I was about to say, I was kind of like on my Diddy shit, like, but no Diddy. Like, cause remember, like when we was we was preparing for that talent show,
right?
We singing Donald Jones, like I was that guy, like to kind of like help you like prepare for that.
Okay.
But no Diddy.
Oh, so you were saying that you was my producer?
I definitely wore a producer hat on many different occasions.
Child, anyway, so my parents, they supported me so much, and they, as far as music and all of that, you know, they did definitely support me going to Full Sail. They didn't necessarily feel like that it was going to make me money, but I was someone that always wanted to just go after my dreams and go after like what I want, what I wanted. And even today, you know what I'm saying? My parents still think that this is like a hobby, as far as me doing media and entertainment and hosting and singing and all of that.
They don't understand, but when the checks come.
Hello. And I feel like that's like a lot of, you know, a West Indian people that are like out of the country, yeah, or like, you know, of some sort. They always want you to be.
They got to work for somebody.
Yeah, you want, you got to
work
be,
your way
you
up.
Gotta work your way up. You got to be a doctor. You got to be a lawyer. You got to be a nurse. Yeah. All Haitians are nurses. So, you know, you got to be something in the medical field. But, you know, if it's something in music, okay. But, you know, you got to follow what Jesus says. You know what I'm saying? You have to be in their church. We don't want you out in their world. But, you know, I would definitely say for me, as I move, because of the fact that I don't have kids, but something that I resonate with just how I move as an adult that my parents provided to me is the spirit of serving and the spirit of giving. And I feel like that my parents were always those people that, you know, they were always there to help people out. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to free people, as far as people in the church, as far as praying for folks, you know, they always, I kind of, anything that I've seen, like when I was at my house, I feel like that it was always something that my parents were helping somebody with. Yes. And what's crazy about it is while they were doing that, my parents were kind of telling me, don't do what I'm doing. You know, not so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were very, even today, like, you know, I had a conversation
with
my
mom. They weren't raising you to do that. They were doing what they were doing to receive blessings, probably in all reality, all actuality, for you.
For me. I understand that. But
they were helping other people to receive blessings to help
you. But that's the Bible, though. So if you wanted to follow, if you really want to get into it, the Bible says that you, you know, bless others and you will be blessed. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then my parents shouldn't have done that. And I only say that in the aspect of they weren't really so gung-ho and supportive of me helping out with friends or going out all the time, or like if, let's say, if you guys were having a party, or if you guys, you know, if somebody was moving or something of that sort, they weren't so much supportive of that. But I'm like, you instilled this in me, and this is the person that I am, and God has blessed me tremendously because of who I am. Yeah. So you should be happy.
You know, it's crazy because, so we talked about it before, you know, obviously, my dad could not stand you.
Yes.
However, even just sitting here listening to you talk about your parents and the things that they did, you know how my parents rock.
Yes.
Even, use my dad as an example, even if you knew he didn't like you,
he would still make me breakfast.
Exactly. If you were hungry, that man cooked you a meal. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he took care of people.
Absolutely.
He took care of people. And that's what I'm saying. Like, hearing you talk about your parents in that light, Like, that's exactly how we were both raised.
Yeah.
It was our parents taking care of everybody, but not necessarily telling us to do the same.
To do the same.
We're just doing this to make sure that you're good.
Yeah.
Because I want to be blessed, and me being blessed is you being blessed.
I'm doing what I'm doing because I want God to see what I'm doing, and I'm doing it so you can be good, because at the end of the day, you're my kid. Yeah. And I get that. I completely understand that. And I receive that. I also receive.
I think that's the problem with the fucking kids now. You're not a parent. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you because I have the fucking little
kids.
You have
kids now.
They're not getting that.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. You know what I mean? Because there's times where, unfortunately, I go out of my way to help people. And I hate to say unfortunately, but it is unfortunate because it's not like how it used to be.
It's not reciprocated.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
People don't understand.
But sometimes
like, when somebody goes out of their way to help you, yeah. like, they're going out of their way to help you, out
at
of their
this
means.
Point, though, friend, because I used to be in a space where I used to expect things from people because mm-hmm. I do so much. Because
that's how you rock.
Because exactly.
You can't expect people to move how you move.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
And that's something that I, you know, as well with my parents, because of the simple fact, because what I've realized is the reason why that they move the way that they move mm-hmm. is because of the things that they have been through. Mm-hmm. So I learn from them and I say, okay, well, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to move that way. I'm going to continue to be who I am as far as being the light that I am and continuing to serve and help people out. And like I even said before, like, if I can do it, I will be able to. If I got it, we all got it.
I'm going to tell you, one of the happiest times me growing up was when my parents were in the church.
Yeah.
It was after my dad had gotten to a serious car accident. It was like 2012 or something like that, 2012 or 2013. He got into a serious car accident. 2012, we was probably, what?
High school, right?
Mm-hmm. Serious car accident, and we started getting into church. That was probably one of the happiest times of my life. Cause
2012, that's after high school. Yeah, I'm wild.
Oh, so it couldn't have been 2012. No, not
2012.
You said 2000. I said 2012. I was 12.
Right. I was about to say 2012, child. That's like,
I don't make no goddamn sense.
Sure don't. I have to think about it.
Yeah, no, I was 12. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Sorry. Strike that from the record.
Right.
I know we can't strike
Cut that out.
Anyway, I was like about 12. That was probably like one of the happiest times of my life when we were like faithfully in the church. Because my mom, she didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I had gotten to this serious ass car accident. She didn't know what else to do. We went to like four different churches. We went to my aunt's church, went to a couple of her friend's churches, and we just couldn't find it. And eventually we went to United Fellowship
mm-hmm.
and it just clicked.
Mm-hmm.
It just clicked. And that was probably the happiest, like, I guess almost 10 years of my life. Damn near.
The happiest moments for me too is definitely in the church. I'm not going to lie.
Being in the church, right?
Yeah. I would say the happiest moments. Yeah, most definitely. I was in the church my whole life.
But it's tough nowadays.
And I was
no?
in two different churches.
Is it not tough nowadays, or is it just me? Am I making excuses? But what it feels like tough being in church nowadays.
I no longer. It's crazy because my whole life I was in the church. I no longer go to.
Am I making excuses? Or
no.
Is that real?
I feel like that the energy is different. I feel like that. I don't know. Personally, with me, I have different reasons as far as why I don't necessarily go to the church house. I go to church. I have Bedside Baptist with Keon Henderson every single Sunday at 12 p.m., okay? And it is a word every single time. However, I choose not to go to the church house at this moment simply because of the fact that I don't know what I'm going to be getting myself into as far as energy. Because when you go into specific churches, you don't know the energy in these places and in these churches. Mm-hmm. And that's something even from growing up, my mama always told me, even from going from churches to church, from different churches and traveling, my mom always told me that there's always a different energy and different vibe. Don't have people touch you. Don't have people touch your head. This and that, the third.
Your parents still going to church?
Of course.
The same church?
Yes. They've been.
So why don't you go to that church?
My brother and I stopped going to that church because of some drama with my brother that happened. And, I stopped going there since I was in the fifth grade. And then from there, we went to the cathedral. And I was still in church, like, from there on. And because my brother then became my bishop's assistant, and I was in praise and worship.
This sounds like a bunch of different shit.
Yeah. So
where were you, let me ask you this, and not to keep jumping around. Where were your parents raised?
In Haiti.
In Haiti? Mm-hmm. When did they come to the States?
My mom came when my brother was 2 years old, and she stayed in Miami. And then my brother and my dad, you know, she had to pretty much get the means together to pretty much bring the rest of her family over. Mm-hmm. So she worked as a nurse in Miami. My brother was coming back and forth between Miami and Haiti. And then
your dad was still in Haiti.
Mm-hmm, my dad was still working in Haiti. We had business over there still and everything. So then they both came when my brother was four, and they were still living in Miami. And then they moved to New Jersey. They moved to Asbury Park. And then they've been living in Asbury Park till I was born. Yeah. So like until my brother was about 10 years old, they were living there. And then, you know, the God was created. And they said, listen, I can't keep this nigga in the motherfucker hood because he going to wild out. Let me take him to the suburbs.
Oh, they're gonna tear his ass up. Okay. Let me get him out of here.
Okay, no shame. Yeah, probably would have torn
him. Either or. They say, yeah. Either or. Let's get him out of here.
Either he gonna act up or he gonna get tore up. So right. Let's take him to the suburbs.
I don't think I've ever asked you that. I don't think we ever discussed that. So shit, in all reality, your parents could have probably been in Asbury while my parents was in Asbury.
Yeah, no shame.
My people are from
They weren't in school and stuff. They were grown at that, but they were like in their like 30s.
Well, I know your parents are older than my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My mom graduated in 87. My dad, 85.
Oh, that's like when my brother was born. My brother was like about like 5 years old.
They both graduated from Asbury. They had me. I was born in 91.
Yeah.
So not shortly after. Mm-hmm. I lived in Asbury for about a year. Right.
You're going to the suburbs.
Right. So I only asked that just to kind of like get an idea of like their background, parents' background. Like outside of them being in Asbury, my mom's mom, my grandma, you know, mama, who's still very much, you know, shout out my grandma, I love you, my baby. She's from South Carolina. She moved here when she was 18 on her own. Mm-hmm. She's like, I want better.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah, my parents had I would definitely say growing up, my mom and my dad, they definitely had from what the stories that they told me, it definitely wasn't the best. Obviously, that was the reason why that my mom wanted to come to America, because of the fact that she wanted the American dream. They wanted a better living. My mom being, just briefly, my mom being someone that is, her mom and her, she had a stepfather that wasn't necessarily too loving of her and, you know, gave a lot of affection to her other sisters because those were his kids. So my mom and my uncle didn't really receive a lot of affection and a lot of support and all that. So she went through a lot of trauma. My dad as well, one of seven. At this point, I think he is probably him and my other aunt that is the only ones that are probably alive at this point, and they don't speak. Mm. And my dad does not explain to me why. So it's a lot, you know what I'm saying? And that's something that I wanted to kind of ask you as well as we like, you know, wrap things up is, you know, that's something as far as the things that my parents go through as someone that's an adult and growing up and, you know, going through therapy and all that, that's why I show them grace, because they created me. So like at the end of the day, but I understand why they did the things that they did. And I understand the way that they acted because they didn't know any better at the time. They were literally parents doing what they can. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that you can probably attest to that too, because there are moments that, listen, I'm doing the best with what I got. Okay. So like, that's why I tend to give my parents so much. And I'm at a point in my life where, because I was really at a point where I just really wasn't like, you know, I always used to say negative things about them. And even still, like, you know, I tend to kind of gear off on that a little bit. But I'm learning now that I show my parents grace. And because of the fact that they have done so much for me and still is, and they don't have to, you know what I'm saying? And at this point in my life, I'm at a point where I'm here and I'm going to be, I want to say thank you. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for creating the person that you created. Thank you for giving, you know, yourself to me and still giving yourself to me and providing your all. You know what I'm saying? Child, I still go to my parents if I need like $50. If I need gas, listen, hey, you got $50? You got $50. You ain't got $50. Like, I just went to my mama's house yesterday and I raided the fridge. Okay, got me some turkey wings.
That's probably why she asking about them potatoes.
That is probably, you know what, she probably, but I didn't take them potatoes.
I tell you, it's
so what is something that, what about you, Fram?
It's tough. It's tough, man. You know, I miss my dad every single day.
Yeah.
Ain't no other way to put that. I miss him every day. And I know I'm not the only person that misses him.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think hurts probably the most.
Mm-hmm.
Is because my mom misses him. Mm-hmm. My sister misses him. My kids haven't met him. They miss him.
Yeah.
You know? So it's tough. It's tough. But I don't think that I could be better or worse off if he was still here, because I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, to be honest, you know, I think back to what I said before about how I used to want to be raised by a single parent. Like, I don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I do know that I miss him, and that, you know, with that, you hate to say, like, oh, you have regrets, but, I mean, that's just the God honest truth. I have regrets. I have plenty of them. At the end of the day, I didn't even get to tell my dad, like, yo, I love you, I respect you, I miss you, you're my everything. Because I thought that he was some form of a superhero because he's been through all this shit and he was still here. You know, multiple car accidents and, you know, different, you know, diagnoses and disease or whatever, and he was still here, and I just thought, like, all right, well, it can't nothing hurt him, but, you know, that shit, you know, you eventually figure out, like, yo, life is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you do not have a say in it. And, you know, like I told you, I think I said this before, for a long time, I felt responsible for him being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still dealing with taking that off of myself, but at the end of the day, like I said, I miss the guy every fucking day, you know? And I'm not the only person that misses him. There's people that I haven't even met this motherfucker, and they miss him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough to deal with. But I just try to just remember the things that he did that made me feel loved and at home and embraced and just, you know, at comfort. And I try to do those things with my kids so that, you know,
you can be the best and they can be the best.
God forbid, if anything ever happens, they'll know that, you know, the love is there.
Right.
Because I know that my dad loved me.
Right.
That'll never leave me. I know he loved me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just unfortunate that he can't tell me that shit right now.
Yeah.
That's life.
Unfortunately, that is. And, I mean, like I said before, you're doing amazing. You are an amazing father. You're an amazing person. You're an amazing friend.
And only that because my kids are amazing. My help, my support is amazing. I have amazing people around me. I can't be amazing without the supporting cast.
That's so true. But, I mean, you know, you're doing, you know, you are doing the best that you can. And I am proud of you. And I know that Michael is proud of you as well. And I pray that God continues to show you the light and show you your strength and show you who you are as you continue to be the best father that you can be, because you had a really great father. You know, like you said, he had his flaws, but we all literally have our flaws. Nobody is perfect. So all we can do now and all you can do is learn and move forward as far as how you can move as far as a man and as far as a father, as far as a partner and all of that. And yeah, friend, like, you know, I love you. You know what I'm saying? You my motherfucking nigga, motherfucker, okay? But honestly, at the end of the day,
sometimes parents just don't understand.
They really don't. And parents really, that's really what it is. Parents really just don't understand. And
but we wouldn't be who we are without them. And we thank God for them.
Yes, absolutely. I thank God for my mama and my daddy.
I would not be half the man that I am without the influence of my parents.
Yeah. Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely.
Much needed.
So I think that we're going to wrap it up like that, friend. You know, I think that, you know, we're going to say we appreciate our parents before, and I appreciate y'all now, and I want to say shout out to Michael, and I love you dearly, even though you hate me, but I know that you motherfucker.
He didn't hate you.
No, but you ain't let me finish, bitch. I know that you really love me on the low low. You know what I'm saying? You just really ain't fucking. You know what I'm saying? It was like a love hate. It was like a love on the inside, and that's the one I love the most. So, you know, I'm just giving you a hug right now because, you know, I fuck with you, and I appreciate you. Is this a song? What you playing? Yeah. What is this? Is this what we gonna listen to as we closing out?
You ain't never heard this?
Oh, this is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Oh, yes, this is perfect. Parents don't understand. Okay, period. All right, y'all, that's how we gonna wrap up, okay? Thank you guys so much. Make sure that you guys like, subscribe, comment, do everything that you gotta do. Jamar, you got any parting words, friends? Lower that bitch, because we ain't gonna be. We need a. Don't play too much of that either, because
we don't own.
Hello, we do not own the copyrights or motherfucker. Cut this out. Okay. You got anything to say, friend, before we wrap up? All right, watch this. All right, y'all, deuces. Thank y'all. That was good, friend.